And that is the world that we're living in now, which is so different than the way Jesus has given us to live. And it's by design, it's by deliberate design that they're trying to change things, coming against Christianity, coming against so much of what we believe in. And it's not just Christianity, it's any religion at all. And we'll get into that. But so today, as we, you know, last time we talked about the matrix, but now today let's talk about the way. What is the way that we're supposed to, fight, we're supposed to be a part of? Because we're living in a time where religion is being attacked, Christian culture, our very culture, is being attacked, the family. Not just being attacked, but it's being disintegrated. Marriage, the very foundation of society, is being torn apart. Masculinity is being attacked. All the gender confusion. How can there be 32 genders? When I was growing up, there were only two. Children are under attack. In schools, in many schools, they're not being educated now. They're being indoctrinated. And they're using schools to mess with the minds of children. They know if they can get children and introduce weird ideas into their head, like maybe you're a girl when you know you're a boy and all that sort of thing, and indoctrinate them, then we've got real issues. So we have three choices. We can fight back. We can retreat. But how many of us can really get away? I mean, how many of us can go live in the Amazon? I mean, how many of us can live somewhere where we're totally disconnected for? I mean, it's just not practical. It's not going to happen. It's hard to retreat. But there is a third way, and that is to choose to live among them in a different way. To choose to live among them in a different way and not be influenced by their way, but live His way. That way, capital W, is Jesus. We see this in John 14. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the, y'all know your Bible, amen. No one comes to the Father, except through me. Acts chapter 9, verse 2. And they asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Talking about Paul now before he was saved. There's three different places in the book of Acts where it talks about Christians, about this thing that's happening as the way. They talked about it as the way because the way they were living was so different than how the Romans were living. You need to remember in the Roman Empire, there wasn't just one God. They allowed people to worship any God that they wanted to, except for Jehovah. Because no matter who you worshiped, as long as you put Rome first, you know, the Caesar, you know, as long as Caesar is your Caesar, then you can worship pretty much any god that you wanted to, because worshiping one god is the same as worshiping another god. It's just a different name for the same thing. But the way was different. The way was radical. And the way was threatening to Rome. And therefore, they attacked people who followed the way. And it really hasn't changed today. It wasn't until a few decades after Jesus died that in Antioch, in the Antioch church, they were called Christians. And this was not, this was a derogatory term. It really meant little Christs, little Christs. It was a way of mocking them. Oh, y'all are just little Christs running around. And it was a derogatory term. The church in Antioch didn't want to be called Christians. Like I said, it was a derogatory thing, but it stuck. And now we are Christians. It's what we call ourselves, is what others call us. Amen. But originally, it's all about the way, the way, the way. They were called the way because being a Christian wasn't just about what these people believed, but it was because of the way they lived. Really important. A lot of Christians will tell you what they believe, but they don't live it. They live just like anybody else. But if we're really a Christian, it will change the way we walk and the way we live, the way we talk, where we go, where we don't go. Come on, come on, somebody help me. I'll start preaching holiness. I've been there in the day. I can preach it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You won't like it, but I. Hallelujah. So again, it wasn't about what they believed. The Romans don't care what you believe. But it was about the way they lived. Now, and I wish today we can get back to living the life instead of just preaching the doctrine. I'm not saying doctrine's not important. I'm not saying what you believe is not important. But it ought to form the way you live. Not just what's in your head. Wow. Jesus explains this in John chapter 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Wow. They're in the world, but not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. You're here by design. You're here on purpose. You're here because you have a purpose. And I don't think you're going to die until your purpose is done. Take that, devil. But that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Go back a couple chapters, chapter 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Ah, there's the key. Now you know why they don't like you. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out, chose you. You didn't stumble on this. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about my testimony, how the Lord was setting me up for salvation, setting me up before I was even saved. Ah, oh, hallelujah. Jesus, help us. You are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Tough. Yeah. You need to understand something. We will have opposition to the way. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You got to figure this thing out, because once you start walking in the way, you don't have to say a word. People are going to spot you. They're going to figure you out. And let me tell you something. I've told you this before. It's getting harder and harder to live the Christian life and somebody not know it. Because we used to live in a Christian society. We all lived in Mayberry. Everything was Mayberry. My God, even the town drunk sang in the choir. Otis knew more about religion than some people in the church know it today. Come on, Mayberry, hallelujah.
But now that very same county that Mayberry, that county that it's in, that place now leads the state of North Carolina in the most drug use and suicide rate in the entire state of North Carolina. Mayberry ain't Mayberry anymore. We're living in a whole different world, which means if you walk in the way, your light's going to shine. How many know you can? If this room were completely dark, you would see the smallest candle. The darker the world gets, the more your light's going to shine, whether you want it to shine or not. Look out. They're coming for you. Jesus, help us. Amen and amen. Wow, where am I? We need to be willing to walk a different path. Let's get into this parable here, Matthew 13. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. This parable will help us understand the way. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Now, how many know the parable? Some of you don't know the parable or you can't raise your hand. Help your neighbor. Lordy. Are you that cold? Hey, mid-20s tomorrow. Be sunbathing. Just get a foot of snow off my deck, maybe. Jesus, help us. So here it goes. A sower went out. He would have a bag, and he was very good at it. He would scatter seed, and the seed would go everywhere. And some of it would fall on the pathways. Back then, they didn't have fences and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't until like the Middle Ages when things got crowded in Europe and they started building these stone fences. But they really didn't have fences, but they had paths through the fields where they always walked. And if any of that seed would fall on that path, it would just get crushed and the birds would come and eat the seed. Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't matter how much seed you pour on it, it's not going to grow. Some preachers get it in their head, if I could just preach longer, if people would just come to church more. I want you to understand something. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is the seed. The word is the word. There's nothing wrong with the word. If you preach the word, it's the word. Ah, my God, I feel the Lord. Let me tell you something else. There's nothing wrong with the sower. He's skilled in what he's doing. But the problem today is too many people are trying to change the seed. Preaching another gospel. Are you helping me preach? They're trying to change the seed. Say, well, maybe if I preach it differently, people will receive it. No, you can't mess with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil. And Jesus said the soil is the heart. I just want to kind of slow down and take this. Are you okay out there? You weren't here last week. I get an extra hour. I don't know what laughing means. How many would stay 2 hours? I'm just curious. Yeah, all 10 of you. Okay. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Quit messing with the seed. I don't care what you do with the seed, it's not going to grow on hard soil. So what is he talking about? Jesus said some hearts are so hard that you could throw any amount of seed at it, and they just never get it. They just never receive it. We're living in a nation that has heard more word than any nation in the history of the world. Just bounces off. Bounces off. Why? Because the heart has become hard. Nothing wrong with the sower. Quit beating yourself up. My loved ones won't get sick. Just keep. But if the heart is hard, nothing will come of the seed. Can I get an amen? Whew, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So we must be willing to sow seed in a different place. Let's go to, did I read Matthew 13? He'll receive the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately, this is the next step, and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but only endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So the first seed's on hard ground. The second seed is in shallow ground. How many times, y'all been here a few years? How many times have you seen somebody come to the altar? Woo-hoo, boo-hoo, repent, get saved, never see them again. I tell you, some people are so shallow they can't last a week. Shallow. What happens is, now some people say, well, there must be, why are there rocks? There are no rocks in the field. Any good farmer, especially back then, is going to take the rocks out of the field. No, that's not what's happening. It's that there's, 8 to 10 inches of soil, but right under it is maybe a shelf of rock. And even though when he plows, he doesn't go that deep, right, back then, and he would lose the soil, but he wouldn't know that under 8 to 10 inches there would be rock there. And the plant would at first just thrive in that shallow soil. How many times have we seen people like, woo! Then it's, woo. When a plant has shallow soil, it will shoot up, but only go so far. Because it doesn't matter how much is growing above. It has to be supported by roots below. And too many Christians look good on the outside, but have no root within them. They're shallow in their faith. So the root will go down and then it gets stopped. And it's not just shallow soil. It's that little bit of soil cannot maintain enough moisture, and eventually the plant will just wither and die because it's too shallow. So there's the second thing. Some hearts are too hard to change or receive it. Some receive it, but they're too shallow to keep it. But that's not probably where any of us live. We live in that third section. My God. We need to learn how to breathe free. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns, there it is he who hears the word and, or you could say, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the soil. It might be shallow, it might be packed, but soil is soil. The heart is the heart. You know what that tells me? Whomsoever will. It tells me that the heart is the heart. Doesn't matter. Everyone has a heart. Everyone has the ability to get saved. But some hearts have become too hard. And some hearts are just too shallow. No root within themselves. Can I say this? The world is trying to uproot us. I think last time I talked to you about a little bit about my family and how that we traced our generations back to the 1500s. My great great, I don't know, three greats or two greats, a lot of greats. He was a lieutenant in Napoleon's army, and he moved from France to Strasbourg, and married into the German part of the family. So I got a little bit of French in me. God help me. And so they all spoke German. But as far back as we can go, all those generations, 14, 15 generations, we traced it back. As far as I know, every one of them were just farmers. Right? They farmed. Listen, the world of my grandparents that I knew and their parents, and going all the way back, here it is. Dad and mom were home every day. Now, kids had to go to school. I get it. But back then, they actually learned something. The three R's. But here's the thing. They all sat around the breakfast table together. Send the kids off to school. They'd come home, eat supper together. They'd be together all evening. They'd go to bed together. The family was together. When my father came along, my dad didn't farm. He worked for the Burlington Northern Railroad. He built boxcars. Every time I see a train, I think, that might be my dad's car. But Dad left every day. And then we had to set the women free. Women's rights. I'm not against it, but here's the problem. Now Mom's gone too. They get up in the morning, Dad goes one way, Mom goes another way, kids go another way. Where's the roots? I'm not here to fuss at anyone. I just want you to understand what's going on. But if that wasn't bad enough, then they had to attack marriage itself. They say their divorce rate's coming down. I guess so, because no one's getting married. There's that. People aren't even getting married. We're getting more and more and more rootless. Here's just a simple thing you need to think about. It used to be, and for me it still is, whenever you meet somebody new, we used to say, "Where are you from?" Now we ask, "What do you do?" And there's a difference. Because nowadays, people find some identity in what they do instead of where they're from. We don't ask where they're from because the roots have been tore out. And nobody cares anymore where you're from. But it matters where you're from. This is why I love genealogy and I love getting into that stuff. And it doesn't change who I am, but it helps me realize who I am. Because all those generations have poured into me. I have roots. I understand connections. As much as that's possible, some of you can go back away, some of you can't. Even if you just go back one or two generations, we need to understand who we are, not just what we do. Men are especially, is this okay? I know I'm chasing rabbits. Hallelujah. Men especially are all about what they do. And that's why a lot of times when they retire, they're like, they don't know what to do, and their wives wish they'd go back to work. Because men get confused that what they do is who they are. No, 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 no. What you do is not necessarily who you need to figure out who you are, not just what you do. Because someday you're going to not do what you're doing. And then you got to go back to, who am I? Am I helping anybody? Oh, Jesus. Let's start asking people where you're from, especially when I travel. If they speak English, I'm talking to the bus driver. You know, I'm talking to this one, the taxi cab. I want to know, hey, where are you from? I want to know their roots. I want to know their connections, especially in the world that we live in. It's important to get your roots down. Is everybody okay with what I'm saying? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to move on. So that gets to the third one, where the seed goes in good soil. Say good soil. And there, as it says in Matthew 13:23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Bearing fruit is the evidence that the seed has taken root. We got too many Christians who bear no fruit. They still look like and act like the world instead of the way. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, this is not in reference to how many seeds. You could put a pumpkin seed in or melon or whatever, and you might get a dozen seeds from that. You know, well, that's 12-fold. Okay. No, it's not talking about producing more seeds. It's talking about what businessmen call ROI, return on investment. And what it's saying is if that farmer invested $100 and he got 30-fold back, that's $3,000, I think. Or it's a $300. $3,000, right? 100 times 30? $100? 60-fold is $6,000. 1,000-fold. $100 produces $10,000. That's a good return. Hello? We're talking about return on what you invested, but you got to invest something. But there's a return. And whenever the seed goes into that good soil, and let me say it a different way. When seed goes into prepared soil, not hard soil, not shallow soil, prepared soil, it produces. Like Genesis 26, when Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Woo! Glory to God. Real quick, what does the way look like? And we could preach a whole series. I don't have time. But Colossians 2:7 talks about this, that we need to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Very important. Some people are bitter and not thankful. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Oh, God, that's the world we live in. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Hallelujah! That's God. Real quick, let me tell you this. Love is the key. Pastor, what's the hardest message to preach on? Love. It really is. As soon as I say love, everyone turns out, oh, I love everybody. Just don't like that guy. You love everybody until you don't. Because love is not a feeling, it's the way. You know what early Christians were doing that no one else in the Roman Empire was doing? They were picking up abandoned children off the streets, taking them in. They were finding widows who had no source of income and would have died in their poverty. And they took them in. They even did things like bury the dead instead of just throw them on a heap on the outside of the city. Because they believe that the body's going to be resurrected someday and it needs to be honored. So they buried the dead and they took care of the children and the widows, and it was blowing their minds. They had never in the history of mankind has anyone acted like that. I can go on and on and on. I talk about their acts and talk about how they loved. In fact, they said, remember in the scriptures, oh, how they love each other, how they love the world. We've lost some of that, but that's the fruit. That's the fruit. That's the fruit, is you love those that are unlovable. How about this? You love those who can give you nothing back but trouble. But you still love them. Can I get an amen? Ah. But let me go back to that third point. But listen, the only way we can do that is to get the weeds out of our life. You see, the hard path, that's not our problem. The shallow path. You're not shallow. You've been in this church. You've been preached the word. I don't think anybody's shallow in this church. Thank you for one. That's not our problem. Our problem is the weeds. The weeds. What weeds, preacher? Too much TV. Too much screen time. Parents, can I beg you, keep your children off the internet? They now have scientific proof that watching too much of this, and whatever that means, but watching too much of this literally rewires children's brains, not in a good way. Come on. They know how to play video games, but they can't read, write, or do arithmetic. I wish I had time to share statistics with you, but they say this COVID generation is now going into college. I think the statistic was 67% are seriously deficient in reading. They can hardly read. They don't know. They're teaching basic arithmetic in college. They don't know basics. And writing, well, first of all, they threw the writing out. It's called printing now. But even the printing is so bad, it's hard to read. 67%! Because once a kid falls behind, he stays behind. Because they keep layering everything on their education. So if you miss a step, they're building on an empty step. And children are losing out. Not only the school systems, but family situations. All the stuff going on as this world tries to tear us apart. Keep us separate. Keep us away from each other. Right? I talked about the family being together all the time, and now we're spread to the four winds. And I know you may not have much choice in the matter, and I'm not here to fuss at you. I just want you to be aware and to find ways to be together again. The pastor, we don't want to be together. We'll kill each other. Well, there's that. Find a way. The way. Find the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Ephesians 3:16. I guess I better find a place to land. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. This is an actual prayer that Paul's praying over you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't comprehend it. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, come on, Paul, all that we ask or even think, woo, according to the power that works in us. Come on, I can get Pentecostal once in a while. Power! Ha! I'm trying to preach like a black man. I'm trying. Ha! Glory to God. I got no black blood, but I feel it once in a while. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Love is the key. Love is the key. Here's the thing. And by the way, starting next week, we're gonna start a series on the parables of Jesus. We're going to go deeper than we've ever gone on these parables. There's more there than I've ever preached. It's going to be great. But how many remember the parable where the enemy came and sowed weeds in there, and they said, let's pull them up. And they said, no, don't pull them up. Let them grow together. That's kind of weird. No farmer would agree with that philosophy. But Jesus was trying to make a point. We have to live with the fact that we have to grow up with them. You just can't, I mean, there's no way to retreat. There's no way to just complete. You have to live with the fact that you got to live with them. Maybe even in your house. You have to live with them. You have to grow up together. One day he'll separate us. But for now, we have to grow up together. Because one will influence the other. My question is, which one's influencing which? Are the weeds winning or are the crops winning? Jesus. Who's winning the battle? This world is sowing so many weeds. You know, you don't even have to sow weeds. Where in the world they come from? They just grow all by themselves. Oh, Jesus. And there it is. There it is, all around us. And it chokes. It tries to choke. Not even, it robs nutrients. It chokes the air by cluttering the space, blocks out the sun, robs the nutrients, steals the water. You know what? I'm still standing. I'm still producing. And you know what? Here's the hard part. Jesus said you even have to love those that are stealing all that from you. Love is the key. Love is the way. Love is the truth. Whew. Love is the life. The whole purpose of this, please understand, your life's not just about attending church for an hour on Sunday. It is a lifestyle that you need to start living. Get in the Word. Why? Because the Word is the seed. Get the seed in you. Dig deep. One of the reasons you come to church is so you can go a little deeper. Get into the Word. The seed's out there, folks. I'm throwing it out every week. And when you only attend once every 6 weeks, I hope you're getting some seed somewhere. But the seed, the problem's not the sower. Thank you, God. And the problem's not the seed. The seed's always good. The seed's always the same. It's been the same for 2,000 years. The seed does not fail. It's the heart. that fails. Open your heart and say, God, you're the way for me. Help me discover the way. Let me walk the way. Let me live the way. The way. It's going to be really different than the world. And the world is invading us. You know, when TVs first came out, people preached against it. They said it's the eye of the Antichrist looking in your living room. We used to laugh about that, but now I think they actually are connecting with us. Somehow they know what we watch. Come on. It's getting to be a two-way street. Whew. I don't know, sometimes I watch how I'm dressed in front of the TV. I don't know what they're... Who knows? But it's not just the TV. Once you download something, once you look at something, that little monster in there's a monster in that phone. That little monster says, they like that. Me gonna send more of that stuff. And all of a sudden you think, wow, that must be normal. But look at all the stuff they send me because I'm so wise and so... No, you're just stupid. They know what you like. Come on. You look at a little bit of pornography, guess what happens? Any conspiracy theorists here? We all know Johnson killed Kennedy and Elvis is still alive living in the Caribbean. And don't get me started on 9/11 and all, you know, who knows? But I just don't want to spend all my time on conspiracies. I want the truth. I want to live the way. I want to live the life. Ain't got time for all that other stuff. But you know what? When you start downloading and looking at Christian stuff, it'll send you more Christian stuff. Preachers you never heard of start popping up on your feed. So be careful because the weeds will overcome and the weeds will entangle us and the weeds will overcome us. We see it on billboards. We see it on TV. We see it on our phones and all the stuff. This was supposed to be a telephone, but it's not anymore. It's a lot more than that. A lot of us don't even use it as a phone much anymore. It's text and, come on, Facebook. I don't even post much. The only reason I'm on Facebook is because it's a place of ministry. I like to use the thing against itself. Take that, Facebook. So I don't post much. I kind of look around. Maybe it's somebody's birthday or somebody's having a crisis. I mean, you know, it helps me to minister to people. The other day I broke down and I posted something. I shouldn't have posted it. There's always the naysayers and the weirdos and all that stuff out there. I just don't have time for that nonsense. I don't have time to argue with people who don't want to listen anyway. People who have been clouded by the enemy. I'm over it. I don't post much. Whew. Use what you can use. It's just good advice. Use what you can use, but be careful you're not being used. Use it for the glory of God and just forget the rest. Be careful about this stuff. Be careful about all this junk all around us. I'm not saying you throw away your phone. Maybe one of the best things you can do is get one of those old flip phones. beam me up, Scotty. No, no, that's a different flip phone. But anyway, that's back when you really had a phone. That's all it was. Now it's a computer. They say there's more electronics in this phone than the entire rocket that was sent to the moon. More electronics, more memory in this one device than the entire rocket that went to the moon. Unless you think it go to the moon. And the world really is flat, you know. Stand to your feet. Someone's going to hit me up after church. You know, I think it is. I think it is flat. If you think the world is flat, just start walking east and never stop, and you will come right back where you started, and you will not fall off the edge. All right. Can we at least settle that the world is not flat? Can we all agree on that? Elvis still lives. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Father, thank you for helping me through this message. I pray that it's done some good. I pray that we'll get a hold of the way. Start living the life of love. Help us to not just believe it, but live it.